This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And as you go about your day, how often do you get a sense of being valued? How has the world assigned you a value? How much of your responsibility is it to understand your value as a worker and the things that we do each day? And the answer to that idle dinner party question,
what do you do?
Well, there are a lot of answers to that question. And we could start right at the bottom.
Take this job and shove it.
But there are jobs where the value is self-evident.
Take this job.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
There you go. And there are careers that at least seem to matter a lot.
Take this job and
let's make the most of this beautiful day.
Oh, Mr. Rogers, no argument there. And then there are jobs where the value is, shall we say, self-inflated.
Take this job.
You're fired.
Donald Trump, thank you. There are also people who maybe don't ever have to think about whether what they are doing is valuable at all.
We would search through the rubble to find makeshift desks and chairs or stools or something so that we could sit or they could sit. And we would see those patients right there in the tent, right in the midst in their communities.
Later this hour, a doctor making life and death decisions on the ground in rural areas devastated by the typhoon in the Philippines, improvising hospitals and clinics there, literally out of the rubble. But mostly this hour, we're going to explore the ambiguities of value in our economy. Do you have a sense of your value in the workplace? Tell us what it is. How do you see it? Then tell us if it has anything to do with how much you are paid. We might hear from a banker with a $2 million annual bonus, like the guy I met during the Occupy Wall Street demonstrations years ago, who, as he sat with demonstrators, people who had no idea he was a banker, quietly told me that he was paid way beyond the value of what he did. We might hear from some of you who believe you deserve a big raise. $15 an hour, for instance, making fast food, better benefits for teachers. Let's hear from all of you out there.
Bruce from Tallahassee, Florida. As a judge, I make momentous decisions that affect people's lives and livelihood. I protect people from improper behavior from others. So my job really has significant value. I'm compensated at a lower rate because I am a state employee, but I suppose it's fair enough.
Thanks for that, Bruce. And we've got some wisdom from one of you in McKinney, Texas. The value of your job is what it is able to give back to you, you write. As a philosophy major, my career as a lifelong critical thinker is more rewarding to myself than any dollar amount can surpass. I would do my job for free. Let's welcome Al Ginny to the program right now, professor of business ethics at Loyola University's School of Business Administration. And for Chicago radio listeners, they know him as the longtime resident philosopher at station WBEZ. Al Ginny, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Would you do your job for free?
Absolutely not. In point of fact, my brain and my commitment to my job leads me to do it out of love, but my body, my brother asks, requires at least $55,000 a year.
Perhaps one of the themes of your book, My Job, Myself, how does the economy assign value and how do we extract our notion of our value from those around us, do you think?
Well, that's a dissertation question, and it's really the heart of the matter. The society doesn't assign value by the real worth of the job. The individual has to decide for themselves, does this have meaning as well as money for me? That quote from the judge, I think, was quite correct. I mean, the judge, in point of fact, makes much less than the trial lawyers in front of them at any given time, especially when you're talking about higher cases of importance in society. But they willingly are there and want to be there, et cetera, et cetera. The comment from the philosophy major sounded a little pretentious, but correct as well. If you really love what you do, there's compensation in that. But it's not simply enough to love what you do. You also have to be paid. And the great inequities in our society is we abuse those who love what they do and don't pay them. And then we don't pay the ones who have no other choice and they take what they can.
We abuse those who love what they do. Boy, that really is a takeaway point right there. That is a nugget. So is there economic value to that loving your job piece? And does it factor into the way businesses make decisions about human resources?
Well, you know, businesses say all the time now, it's the mantra, individuals, our most important asset, our people. And it's really true. It's not just a mantra. And the reality is, good workplaces are workplaces that are productive. And most productive workplaces don't just, you know, accumulate things and gadgets and whatnots. There's a happy workforce.
Al Genie, what would you advise someone who doesn't see themselves as valued either in their compensation or in their workplace? Is this their own personal responsibility? Is this a join the union kind of a question, or is it some sort of broader societal issue?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of both. And in reality, what choices do we really have when push comes to shove? You either do what you want to do or you do what you need to do. What I tell my students, and I think I've written 3 or 4 books on work at this point, and that's been my work and it's been a passion. In reality, I started writing because I saw these brilliant students winding up in careers they didn't enjoy. And if you're going to find the work you love, you got to do it early, and you got to be willing to say no to certain things. You got to be willing to take chances. I don't think finding work that you love means finding the cure for AIDS. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you did so? I don't think it always means being in charge of incapacitated a child's home or orphanage, et cetera, et cetera. Meaningful work, passionate work, is work for which you are fit, that you enjoy, that you have some confidence in, and so therefore that's meaningful for you and you feel you're making some contribution. By the way, I've been a student of life for more years than I want to admit on these airwaves, but in all these 70 plus years, what I found most exciting about life is people who actually fit at what they do, enjoy it, and recognize the pleasure of what they have.
Al Genie is professor of business ethics at Loyola University's Quinlan School of Business Administration. He's also the author of My Job, Myself. Al, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
This is The Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.